Each morning when you get up, what would your day be like if you first decided to put on love? The Bible uses this expression in Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 14, and Brother David Johnson will use these words for his topic on this week's program from Words of Life as you hear his sermon. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support Words of Life with their prayers and contributions. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen today.
Oh,
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we humble ourselves before you in prayer, we recognize that you are God and that salvation is found only in Jesus. Thank you for sending him to earth to show his light. And Lord, please use this program for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with understanding and convictions that are needed. We also ask for your help for healing of their bodies as needed and for the power of your peace. Persecuted Christians throughout the world need your strength and faith and protection to keep them from harm. Please bless them. And Lord, help us to be ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Put on Love.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Put on Love. And our main text is taken from the New Testament, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Please listen to the Word of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the Word of God. May that be true of each one of us as born-again baptized believers, that we would have the virtue of God in our hearts and minds, on our lips and with our hands. Many years ago, I was listening to talk radio in my car, and a commentator was reporting that pre-med students studying medicine are being required to take, quote, people relations classes, end quote. This because although these medical school students are smart, many lack people relational virtues. That is, they need to be trained in developing a better bedside manner, so to speak. We have probably experienced dealing with some kind of professional, be it a doctor, a dentist, even a home repair technician. who we may have felt treated us more like a project than a person, who seemed more in a hurry rather than trying to help or care for us. The radio commentator claimed that in our fast-paced society, probably people today evidence less patience, less kindness, less compassion for others' needs than in the past. In our text, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul writes that what he describes as Christians, our attitude and virtue, whether in the first century, of course, or in the 21st century. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 says in part, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." Whenever we see the word "therefore," we should check out the preceding words to see why that word "therefore" is "there for." Note Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator." Also note the ending of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. "But Christ is all and is in all." So what's the point? Because we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, God has changed us. We have been born again, born from above, born anew. Inwardly, we cooperate with God and have a new self, which God has given us. We are being renewed by God to be more like our Creator in godly character. How is this possible? The answer is, Christ is all and is in all. The Spirit of Christ is in us. Therefore, since all of this is reality, we are God's chosen people. We are holy, set apart, and dearly loved. Therefore, since God has done all of this in and for us, we should strive to make the effort to respond to God as He desires. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 ends with, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." If in fact we have had a changed heart by God, there should be some evidence, some verification, validation, as we put on or clothe ourselves with a discernible, obvious degree, being renewed of these godly virtues like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's consider a prime example in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was known himself. You'll recall that Stephen was the first revealed martyr of the church age. Stephen declared the truth about Jesus, but the Jews stoned him to death as hardened unbelievers. Saul of Tarsus probably led the mob that stoned Stephen to death. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "And Saul was there giving approval to his death." Before Saul of Tarsus received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord, he was not compassionate nor humble. He was not patient nor kind or gentle. Listen to his pre-conversion words about himself. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. "As for zeal persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. That was the ungodly character of Saul, who was arrogant, ambitious, self-righteous, even to the approval of killing followers of Jesus Christ. But Saul was changed by God from the inside out, as all true Christians are. Saul became known as Paul, who developed compassion and humility and the other virtues, proving, verifying, validating that he was in fact born again by God. So likewise, God's virtues should continue to grow and develop in and through us toward others. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We all still sin, even as Christians, born-again Christians. We still sin. We continue to fall short. We still may have grievances against others. None of us are perfect, but we need to learn to forgive and not to hold grudges. Consider again Paul as our godly example. Listen to these words taken from Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You understand that Paul had a grievance against John Mark, and it escalated to a sharp disagreement with Paul's missionary companion, Barnabas. Moreover, we should know and realize that all of this sharp disagreement amongst brothers happened after Paul had been a Christian for years. We all continue to fall short and sin. But Christians need to forgive as God forgave us our terrible trespasses. So listen to Paul, who much later wrote to the younger man Timothy in the second letter to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 11, that says in part, "Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Therefore, Paul and Mark eventually were reconciled. Obviously, Paul forgave his deserting him during their first missionary journey together. Paul and Mark became friends and co-workers again. We all have those that we have fallen out with at some point, even in our Christian lives. But with God's help and our cooperation with Christ in us, we can bear with each other and forgive one another. Then Paul reveals the crowning virtue we all must develop and grow in. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We know from the scripture, the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 16, it clearly says, God is love. And God deeply desires that each and every one of His beloved develop the greatest godly virtue of even sacrificial agape love for one another. Because agape love is the greatest of virtues, even more so than faith or hope. Because one day, faith will become sight, and hope will become realized. But love keeps on going into eternity forever and ever and never ends, is never fulfilled completely, even though we will have perfect love in our glorified bodies. Listen to Paul's heart toward the end of his earthly life and think about the love, the agape sacrificial love that Paul was able to mature in because Christ was in him. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul wrote, At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Paul became Christ-like in character. Eventually, Paul was martyred for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. But Paul did not die a bitter man. Instead, Paul had peace with God through the blood of Christ on the cross for his sin. But Paul also had the peace of God, evidence toward all others, because his heart was full of love, not hate. That should be what all true Christians strive for in the character of Christ, especially as we bind all of the godly virtues together and put on love. You see, dear listener, Christianity is not a spectator sport, something that we simply look at or consider from afar. Christianity is not spectator, but teaming up with God to live out the virtues of godliness, validating our faith as genuine. How is your faith? Is your faith genuine, evidenced by godly character?
If you are not yet a Christian, it is important that you make a decision for Christ and put on His love. First, you need to truly believe that Jesus is the Savior and the Son of God. Then you need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, please request broadcast number 1936. That's 1936. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.